Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. Lee Cantor, Stone Payton here with you this afternoon. Studio full. We even got a holdout. We had an earlier episode, and the gentleman likes hanging out with us so much, he's going to watch this episode as well. But this is going to be a fun one. You ready to do this one, Lee?
I am. This event, we talked about it briefly last week, and we're getting a recap.
Well, yeah, now we're going to find out what really happened. So a little bit later in the program, we're going to get a chance to visit with Randy Grinberg with Pet Supplies Plus. But first up on the High Velocity Radio Show this afternoon, please join me in welcoming to the broadcast Tom Snyder and Larry Steffen. How you guys doing, man?
It's fantastic. Glad to be here.
Now, you guys put on an event last night, Riot.
Yes, we did. So we were excited. It's our first event that we've had down here in Atlanta. We had probably 350 people come out to learn about the Internet of Things. Had a great time over at Five Seasons Brewing. And we're excited to be here to talk about it today.
Now, can we talk a little bit about how the event started? What is kind of your vision?
In terms of Riot? So Riot is a spin-out of the Wireless Resource Center of North Carolina, which is a nonprofit, and our mission in life is economic development. So we understand that the great movers in the economy is always driven by gray matter. So the Wireless Center was set up to actually do testing in the North Carolina region, RTP area, and we are a world-class test facility. So it was funded by Golden Leaf Foundation. It was funded by the town of Wake Forest. But the big economic driver in this world in the future, in the near future, in the long-term future, will be IoT, Internet of Things. So we wanted to reach that community. We want to make sure we're effectively having an impact on the economy. So we started something called Riot. So we started about 2.5 years ago, and it just exploded. We have almost 5,000 members. We've done 14 events so far. We have 11 events scheduled for calendar year 2017. And if we said yes to everybody, we could probably double that number. So it is all about people trying to be part of the conversation about what IoT is and how can they participate.
And then can we define some terms before we get too far into it? Internet of Things, can you describe what that means and how it's changed over the last couple of years?
Yeah, right. So the government refers to it as the cyber-physical system, things connected to a network. Mm-hmm. Okay, so everything has to be good. Somebody asked, we talked a little bit with our friend here about a dog chip, right? Is that part of the Internet of Things? I said, no, because you're not connected. You have to find a dog in order to, right? But if it's part of the physical system, the cyber-physical system, then you're part of the Internet of Things. So that's what that's all about. So any sort of connected device now, you know, a Nest thermostat would be the ideal scenario, what people consider that. But you can also take it to Uber and think in terms of that being part of IoT. Right, we can communicate and connect with anything through a cyber-physical system. So that's what Internet of Things refers to.
And then when you were starting, what did it refer to back in the day?
Back in the day.
3 years ago.
He's looking at the dinosaur on the other side of the table.
He's asking the right guy here.
Yeah. So they used to refer to it as machine to machine. Okay, so most of that was basically wireless connectivity, mostly on the cellular network. But all these connectivity points.
Your cell phone was always Internet of Things?
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's part of a cyber-physical system. Right?
But now people are kind of expanding their mind and they're, you know, making their refrigerator Internet of Things.
That's right. IBM has just put a large deal together with a company called Whirlpool. Why would they do that, right? Mm-hmm. So every Whirlpool device is shipping with a Wi-Fi radio on it.
Why? So my dryer has a...
It could. You know, it depends what model you buy, right? The low-end guy, maybe not. No. You know, the $299 brand, no. Maybe the $999 brand has a... But what it's all about is if your dishwasher stops and instead of going into panic mode and you need a repairman to go out on site, you can pick up the phone or even use your app and understand what's going on in your dishwasher. And from that knowledge, you can actually fix the dishwasher on the site. So that's all like real-time data analytics that are now addressing some of these things, but also, more importantly, preventing a truck roll. And truck rolls are very expensive.
Now, when you started, they were these events were North Carolina centric.
Yeah, we started at it. Actually, it was initially named Raleigh Internet of Things.
The okay. Raleigh, that's the R.
That was the R. The R doesn't exist anymore. Right. This is not an acronym. It is Riot, right?
Right.
So we're talking Riot here, baby. So we every time we started an event, we said, "Do you want to go to a Riot?" Right. Mm-hmm. Let's Riot, guys. So we get people pretty jumped up, and it's all about trying to be a collaborative environment. So R initially stood for Raleigh, and then we called it North Carolina Regional Internet of Things, and now we just call it Riot because mm-hmm. it's not only about IoT, it's really about disruptive technologies, okay?
And then okay. what happens in these events? So what happened in the early events, and then how have they changed?
Sure. So the events are really about bringing different stakeholder groups together that don't necessarily intersect all the time and helping people to understand that across the entire kind of value chain of IoT, developers might look at it as a technology stack. Business folks look at it as I've got everything from edge sensors that are collecting the data. We've got microprocessors and radios and other kind of electronic equipment that are getting the information to the place that decisions can be made. And of course, a lot of big data analytics. And but we're trying to help get the different kind of technical functions together, but then also stakeholder groups from industry, from academia, from government, from the big corporate community and the entrepreneurial community to realize that everyone has to participate in this next industrial revolution. IoT will be a transient term. Eventually, we won't think of it as wearables. It'll just be your watch again. Right. It'll just have a radio in it. But everyone needs to participate in some way. It's really intimidating because it is such a kind of new transformation that's happening. We want to get the groups together to support each other, to understand who are the partners that you need to work with, and how can you advance and take your farm to be a smart farm or take your city to be a smart city.
Now, at the event, it's primarily education? Are there speakers? Is this a networking event? So it's all of the above?
The Riots are about getting these communities together. There's networking. There's a lot of fun. And they're all built around then speakers that do kind of lightning talks, kind of TED Talk style mm-hmm. talks where we'll have three or four speakers. Occasionally we'll have a panel discussion. It's about educating and informing folks. And then the sponsors that fund Riot, we're funded by 45 or 50 mostly multinational companies, big companies, have exhibit tables and things where you can go and you can understand what their products and their services are.
And then, it's a combination of the education, the networking, and just kind of getting the word out and everybody kind of collaborating.
That's right. That's right. And to Larry's point, it comes back to economic development at the end. So we want to help folks to get their projects started, meet the partners that can work with them, and then once we kind of do the team building, if you will, then they can go off and run those projects and build jobs and grow companies.
But you're building this Riot community kind of nationally now.
That's correct. Yeah.
And that's the mission of the group.
So at the core of all this is that this is, Tom mentioned, this is the fourth industrial revolution, right? So we use the name Riot is perfect because we really want to create some drama here.
Right.
And if we want people to be participating and innovating today, most importantly, because we want to make sure that we are sellers of IoT and not buyers of IoT. Mm-hmm. So if we talk about the new economy, what's going to actually create jobs for you, me, my children, and my grandchildren? It's IoT. So we can wait for that to happen and maybe come up with a trade tariff that mm-hmm. fixes that. Right? There's no more. The world is flat, baby.
Sure.
IoT is flattening it. But we can invent here and create as much intellectual property as our minds will allow. And we can deploy technology as fast as we want to. So this is not a technology limitation. It is basically a mind limitation. What do you think is effective and going to actually have a return on investment? Because we can connect everything. Some has value, some do not. So it's really about what can you innovate both as an entrepreneur or within your organization, within your community. So this all merges together. So we want to create as much sense of urgency about, are you going to participate in this fourth industrial revolution? And we always say, how many industrial revolutions have there been before?
Three.
Hey, I got a t-shirt. I got a t-shirt for you. We give out t-shirts for that great question, that great answer. So we want people to get we want it to be as dramatic as possible.
Now, are you finding that the cities are embracing this, or are you having to sell them?
No, absolutely. In fact, cities are reaching out to us. When you talk about expansion, what we're doing really has resonated. And so we've had, folks down here in Atlanta reached out. We came down, we met with them in the fall. the ecosystem here is fantastic. There lots of energy, just need a little bit of a steering voice. We wanted to come down and do that. We've had actually 3 or 4 countries reach out to us and say, hey, can we do what we're doing in their facilities? And one of the things that, I shouldn't call them facilities, in their countries. One of the things that we've just launched recently that we're excited about is Riot Labs, which is a physical space. It's a lab where folks can build prototypes of their Internet of Things devices. Entrepreneurs can come in that don't have the capital to build a full engineering development facility, build circuit boards, test their radios, get a product up, show it to early stage customers, investors. It's in partnership with HQ Raleigh, which is the largest co-working space in North Carolina, over 140 companies in downtown Raleigh working out of that facility. And as we prove out this Riot Labs, the goal is we'll drop a Riot Labs in Salt Lake City. We'll put one in Chicago. We'll put one in Atlanta. We'll put one in Dusseldorf and some of these other places that are reaching out.
Whoever will have you.
So right? I want to ask about this early stage investing, though. Talk to us a little bit about that opportunity, because some of us, even those of us who don't have Lee Cantor pockets, do have an interest in some early stage investing and like to know about these opportunities to find out what's out there. How do we start to tap into this? Can we be part of this community even though we're not designing the stuff?
That's exactly the point.
You almost said it was a great question, and I think it was a great question.
It was a great question. It was the best question I heard in the last 3 minutes, so it's an excellent question.
Okay, lay it on me.
So again, that's why you create this community, right? Because we want everybody who can participating in the conversation around IoT. It's great. Listen, I've been running technology companies all my life. I'm a dinosaur, and I love engineers. But we do not just want this to be an engineering-centric conversation always. We want this to be talking about what do you need that can make your business better? What can you actually participate in terms of adding value to your business model? Mm-hmm. So that has to be almost a lead question as opposed to the technology question. Listen, if you look at our website and you look at all, which is ncriot.org, if you look at all our sponsors, all these guys are building tremendous sensors and great technology, great radios, the different types of IoT radio networks that are exploding as we speak. They understand how to make all this technology occur. So it's not a technology limitation. It is really a business application. So you need to find within your community, within your ecosystem, what can be solved by using a connected device and actually has some scalability that actually can create the next great company like a Cisco or a Red Hat or even an Uber, right? So, and have sustainability around it. And again, be part of the new economy. So from an investment point of view, we do every twice a year. We have companies that will pitch to us from a startup point of view, and you'll get to meet them. We went yesterday to our great friends at ATDC. They have 11 IoT companies there that we met with. 4 or 5 have presented, and I'm telling you, I love them all. But I'm really an easy sell. Like I just, this is like crack to me. so you're, it's real. I'm the easiest sell in the world.
Did you write? That's how much I'll know if you like them or not.
How much will I invest?
How much did you invest in them?
Well, I can't say it aloud because my wife hears this and she knows what I've done with our fortune, right? And why I'm still working, right? No, there are 2 or 3 what I would absolutely invest in. Yeah. So what they're doing over at ATDC, and I'm telling you, they have great companies over there. So yes, I would go.
But now there's, like you mentioned, there's 11 today.
Right.
3 years ago, there weren't 11.
That's right.
And then 3 years from now, there might be 100.
So think, I'll give an example. Really, if you were a plumber in the 1980s, you could run a successful business with a Yellow Pages ad, perhaps.
Right.
But eventually you needed a website, mm-hmm. right? Well, that plumber of tomorrow is going to need to be able to connect a connected pipe that does automatic leak detection, that connects to the internet. Every industry will transform. So how do you get started, to the question? Come out to a Riot, meet these folks. There is incredible entrepreneurial opportunity. And for the first time, the costs of starting these companies are incredibly low. You can get a single board computer for $5 or $6 online now, right? And attach some sensors to it and connect it to the internet and do amazing things. So it doesn't take that much capital actually to get started.
Now, you mentioned that yesterday was the event here in Atlanta, the first one. If a person attended that event, what's the best way they can now, moving forward, get the most out of this kind of relationship with the community, the relationship with Riot? Like, how do they kind of wring out the most value from attending that event?
Yeah, so there is another great question.
It wasn't as good as mine.
Look, I came up with the number three earlier, right? And this question. So I'm definitely winning.
Three was still a winner.
So continue to remain engaged. What we're really trying to do is help people to understand that it's not that intimidating. You need to just get started. And so the first place to get started is to make contact with the companies that have been sponsoring us, that we're exhibiting there. Describe, you know, here is what I see my opportunity is or what my problem is, and they can help you get started on a solution. Reach out directly to us. You know, our contact information is on our website. We'll get you connected, whether you're an entrepreneur, whether you're a large corporation, whether you're a local economic developer in a city that wants to bring a riot to you. You know, we're interested in all those things, but it can't be you come to an event one time and then you just go home. You have to remain engaged in the conversation.
And then that's the beauty of what you guys are building. There is a community, and it sounds like it's very collaborative, and that people are looking for opportunities to work together and kind of mash up in ways that you can't even imagine.
So we have a great new sponsor here called Flex, and I think you had Andy Davis here last week. And they know as much about IoT as almost any company I've ran across and so forth. So
I mean, Flex is a multi-billion-dollar company. It's not a small, just guy
but they
in the
depend,
garage.
They depend upon what we talked about earlier. What are the solutions they're going to solve, right? The engineers within the organization of Flex can come up with some great ideas, right? But they're really looking for the next, you know.
They're always looking.
They're always looking. So they want this. They need this to be funneled from the ground up and make it as organic as possible. So we want to build a riot community here in Atlanta. So we just started doing it. We would like to hold as many events here as we do in North Carolina and continue it. So how can you help with that, right? So people who want to participate with Riot, just contact Larry at ncriot.org or Tom at ncriot.org and tell us what you want to do, and we can start building this ecosystem here as well. Get your participating sponsors like GE and Coca-Cola and AT&T, and we're all good friends with all the above, and let them be engaged to actually make sure that we're bringing as many people into the conversation as possible.
Now, why do you think that there is so much activity in the Southeast around IoT?
Because of Riot.
Because of you. It wouldn't be
that's
happening.
That's the best question so far.
It wouldn't have happened. It would have just passed us by, probably.
It's all Tom and Larry. What a softball. That was beautiful.
Oh, man. Wow. Boom.
Thank you, Larry. We're all very appreciative of
your
so
grateful. Thank you, Larry.
So now, why do you think there is kind of a hotbed here in the Southeast in this space?
So there is. So this hotbed, the Southeast does have a great communication infrastructure and in history, right? You know, I came out of the modem business in my life, and there were great telecommunication companies like Nortel out of the Raleigh area and so forth. So, and there are great communication companies out of the Atlanta marketplace and even in Florida. So I think that's why. So it's just a natural evolution of that category is actually moving into IoT, and that's one of the things that we do kind of own. And that we don't necessarily have to worry about our friends over in Silicon Valley, right? They want to go after the Fitbits of the world, which are great. But if we really want to talk about maybe the markets like machine-to-machine asset management, right? We want to talk in terms of smart energy. We have GE here, one of the biggest smart energy companies out there. Probably between here and Raleigh, we have probably 80% of the metering companies and the smart energy companies here. So that's one of the great market segments that we can help and facilitate those. There are so many different market segments that are kind of core to us that we can kind of address. So healthcare is another great space that we have a lot of core competency in. Our region is very deep in healthcare. Your region is very, very deep. The South Florida market and the marketplace in Florida are very strong in the healthcare market. All these things are barely touched in terms of the economic upsides of the potential that we can get out of IoT products. So I think that's kind of what we're going to try to do. Again, a few of the projects we saw in ATTC were a healthcare project, excellent. I mean, a restaurant project we saw, an excellent project. I wish I remember the names, but I do not. But they're great companies, and they're all kind of coming up with some of the core competencies of the region. So I think that's why.
Now, where are you guys going next?
We're going somewhere next.
Next event for you.
Next event. So we're giving a talk in Charlotte on the 30th, and then we're doing an event in Danville, Virginia on March 31st, actually. We're working with a fantastic sponsor up there called The Launch Place, which has incubated a number of IoT companies and works across other sectors as well. And we're going to do an industrial Internet of Things event up there and a workshop for a number of manufacturers to help them understand why deploying some of these technologies across their manufacturing facilities can help them to compete on the global stage.
Now, is that how a city gets your eye if they have a sponsor kind of in tow that helps facilitate the event in that market?
Absolutely helps facilitate. There's no question. You know, we want to go places where we see energy, we see this curiosity, we see folks that are looking for maybe some steering voice or someone that can help bring a community together. We work quite a bit with government organizations. So as an example, in April, we're going to be meeting with the Centralina Council of Governments, which is a number of counties around Charlotte, North Carolina, that all realize that you know, operations don't necessarily start and stop at a geographic border.
Right.
You know, how do we work together? And so we're meeting with them to talk about smart parking, smart transportation, you know, how do they solve some of their solutions? So we look for places where we think we can have an impact. Absolutely, we need the right partners and sponsors to be involved as well to help underwrite the costs.
Now, can you walk through, like, if there's a somebody in a community listening right now, they engage in a conversation with you, what does that first conversation with them look like? Is it typically the economic development person in that community or Chamber of Commerce, or is it maybe the person who ends up being the sponsor? Who's usually your first contact?
So typically, we'd probably have more of a direct business-to-business conversation with one of our sponsors, whether it's a semiconductor firm or
right.
large data analytics company like IBM. So it's real, you know, so I'll give you a perfect example. Chris O'Conn is the general manager for IoT Watson at RTP. Mm-hmm. And he probably taught me as much as I could have told him about IoT.
Don't be modest, Larry.
No. I mean, what he said to me, and it was a perfect thing. He said, right now, this opportunity is so massive. All we want to do is fill the lake with opportunities. So whatever we can do to help rise all boats with the tide, we want to do. So that's kind of the people you want to meet. So we are very focused on synergistic type people that understand the big picture. And it's not about the immediate results. It's all about the long-term results.
Right, laying a foundation.
Foundations and, you know, creating these unicorn companies that are going to come about. And, you know, and Chris says, I'll get my due. Right, I'm gonna get enough of that business to be sucking the brains out of Watson and all that, and that's what he wants to do, and he's gonna learn from all that. So the more we do, the more we implement. Again, here in the USA, without sounding too corny, we want to invent as much as possible here as well. One point we didn't cover is one of the reasons why people do show up, Riot, is because, and this is not because Tom and I are so good looking, it's because we give free beer and free food.
It's the venue is an important. That's why we're at Five Seasons.
That's exactly right. For some reason, people like beer. I don't know what that's all about, but they seem
to
like
universal.
Beer.
It's universal.
Yeah. And people tend to want to chat around for a while when you have a few beers in them, so that kind of helps you.
And then at the event, you mentioned there's the education, there's the tables where the sponsors can go and kind of explain what they're up to, and the networking and kind of the camaraderie is all going to happen in wherever you are doing these events, right?
That's right. And then we have some other events. So those are what we call the riots. But then we follow on working with our sponsors on much more kind of technical and business-focused education series, what we call Riot Ed. And so we hold periodically during the year workshops where we'll, again, bring a huge audience together and then let the companies themselves help teach these folks, you know, how to use the latest Raspberry Pi type development board, or how to create value from aggregated data, how to create what we call systems of systems. You know, how do you let the smart water system in your house that's just detecting how much usage you have inform your automatic order of toilet paper or some, you know, merchant system,
right?
You want to take these systems that are from different places and
that's
connect
priority,
them together.
I guess.
Right.
Never want to run out.
Well, this guy knows how to connect the dots. Yeah.
Especially at a party, that's the whole thing.
That's right.
So now, you mentioned in Virginia's next up, somebody wanted to get a hold of you and learn more. Again, you've mentioned the website.
Yeah, so ncriot.org is our website. Real easy, Tom and Larry, you know, each of our first names at ncriot.org or email, easy way to get to us. You'll see from the website the registration page for our events, and you'll see a schedule of events going out through the end of the year. Registration's not open for every event yet, but you know, as we get closer, we'll launch each of those.
And the company that manages all this is the Wireless Research Center, and their website is wirelesscenter-nc.org. And that's where you can find us as well. And any sort of antenna or radio information we can share with you, we'd be happy to share with you.
And a little inside information, there have been some back channel conversations about Business Radio X broadcasting live at some of these future events. So we'll continue to have
that'd be fantastic.
Hey. Well, the point that I is actually we want to do as many simulcast programs as possible, because how do we reach the communities, and every community, you know, there's a lot of other communities you just can't get to. So we should be thinking collaboratively about doing a simulcast program, whether it's on radio, whether it's with some sort of AV program.
Right.
But it all can be done very effectively.
Right. We'll just figure out some IoT way to do it.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Just have somebody invent
why
that.
In the world are we not doing that, right?
I think this is on the internet, right?
I think so.
But each one of our riots, we should have somebody participating.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. All right. We're going to make it happen. Listen, can you hang out with us while we visit with our next guest?
Yeah, I would love to. Thanks.
All right, Lee, you ready for the headliner?
I am.
He's been very patient. He's been nodding his head. I think I saw him taking some notes. I did see he and our guest in the peanut gallery kind of nodded each other there one time, but it's time to introduce on the High Velocity Radio Show with Pet Supplies Plus, Mr. Randy Grinberg. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Well, we're delighted to have you. Did you learn anything? Anything surprise you in that last segment?
Oh, I just love the whole field that they're in, and it's so exciting to think about where things were 3 years ago to now. Where are they going to be 3 years in the future? It's amazing.
So now you're with Pet Supply Plus. That's a franchise, right?
Yes, it's a franchise.
So is this your, when you were a little kid, you were like, one day I'm going to own a pet supply kind of company?
No, not at all.
Can you share a little bit about your backstory? How'd you get here?
I got here through spending 25 years in corporate America. I have an accounting degree, managed accounting departments, finance, worked a lot in mergers and acquisitions with a lot of those companies. And after 25 years of it, as I tell my friends, I didn't have a midlife crisis, I had a mid-career crisis. I just couldn't see continuing to do that, changing companies every few years and doing that for another 15 years. And so I decided to explore business ownership.
Now, out of all the seemingly infinite choices of business, how did you first go choose franchise versus just starting your own thing?
That happened through meeting a franchise broker. Julie Denai is a Franette of Georgia, and she is terrific and can really guide you along that process. And when I told her I was interested in owning a business but had no idea what business I wanted to own, she actually told me that was a good thing. The key way they work is to find the business model that fits you. What are your goals? How do you want to operate? Do you want to be a passive owner? You want to be active?
So what'd you pick? Which one did you pick, passive or active?
Active. I am both the owner and currently the store manager.
Okay, so once you make that choice, that eliminates some franchises, right?
Exactly.
And so what she's trying to do is kind of narrow down your choices to make it easier, because there are so many.
Oh, yeah. There's hundreds of franchises. There may even be thousands. And her thing was, I'm going to show you a company. You'll talk to their people. When you decide that that's not the right business for you, I just need to tell her what it was that I didn't like about it, and that will then eliminate a whole bunch of other companies. And So it kind of was a funnel effect.
And then, but it's not, when you're doing this, you're not going, well, I like ice cream, I'm going to open an ice cream store.
Exactly.
Right. No. And that's what some people think, right?
Exactly. And that usually runs into trouble, because you may love a certain type of business or ice cream and find out that running an ice cream shop isn't what you want.
Right.
And
so going in, you never considered, like, pet supplies wasn't top of mind, was it?
No, not at all.
What was, like, the first thing you were thinking about, right, when you, in your head, what'd you think was, oh, I'll probably, you know, I'd like to do this?
I didn't have an industry. I had more in my mind, though, it would be some sort of more business-to-business as opposed to traditional retail.
Right, because you were thinking, I'm in accounting, I know all about business, I'll be comfortable in that.
Exactly, and dealing with other businesses.
Right.
I hadn't worked in retail.
So how did you make that shift? Because that seemed pretty dramatic.
It really was, when she first presented it, I was like, well, I do really love animals, but I was concerned about the retail side. But as I talked to more people, both with the franchisor, and then as I went in deeper and talked to existing franchise owners in the Pet Supplies Plus world, the deeper I dug, the more I liked. Mm-hmm. And I liked the business model. I liked their systems. I like the products, and it just kind of fell into place.
So Pet Supplies Plus, like, what is a store? What's in a store?
Dog food, cat food, small animal supplies, birds.
So like cages and
cages, all this stuff. Cages, bed, yeah.
So now how do you compete against kind of those big box stores that do that?
Well, that kind of is what the current slogan right now is, Pet Supplies Plus, minus the hassles. The hassle is our store's small. It's mm-hmm. easy to navigate. You won't wait in long lines. You'll find what you need at the best prices. Top customer service, knowledgeable staff, pet-centric. And we're also your neighborhood convenience store. So I'm right next to a large Kroger. You're going to get your groceries for your family. You don't have to make a second trip. You just walk right into my store, get your stuff for your dog, your cat, your hamster. And then you go into Kroger, get your stuff for your family. One trip, you're home.
Now, is Pet Supplies Plus like kind of the Whole Foods of pet supply, or they're kind of moderately priced? Or
moderately priced. Yes, we're definitely a value store, but we carry from all brands for all levels. So if you're looking for a truly wholesome organic food, we have that. If you're looking for brands you're really familiar with and know, we'll have those as well.
Now, is being active in the community an important component of what makes this thing successful?
Oh, definitely. So trying to, like, we bring in local shelter groups to do adoption days. We're looking at the upcoming festivals and events that are going to happen around the neighborhood that we're in to be part of it. Sponsorships of local groups. You know, where we bought a page in the high school yearbook.
Right. So you have to be active in that kind of footprint around where the store is.
Definitely. That's why we refer to our customers as neighbors, mm-hmm. Because we are in the neighborhood. People don't travel 15 miles to buy stuff for their food, for their pets.
And where is the store?
It's in Smyrna.
Is that where you live?
No, I live in Atlanta, but it's not far.
Uh-huh. And then, so in Smyrna, you kind of immerse yourself in the community. Do you get the kids from the high school to work there, or are you really?
Yes, I have four high school kids, who two different high schools they go to, and the rest of the employees all live within a few miles of the store as well.
Because that's important, right? Because you want them to be the neighbors.
Yes.
That you're serving.
Exactly.
And if you're a pet owner, can I bring my pet in there too?
Is yes.
it pet friendly in that manner as
it
well?
It is pet friendly. You can bring your dog, cat in on leash. We had a guy bring in his giant birds, which was amazing. we had a lady who's a rabbit breeder bring those in to show us. And
how hard is that to be a rabbit breeder?
Yeah, I don't know. yes, and you know, we also, for the people who bring their dogs in, we have the self-service dog wash station. So you come in, we provide everything you need to wash your dog. So you don't have to mess up your bathroom. And we provide the towels, the shampoo, and the whole thing. And you give them a quick bath, and away you go.
How important is social media in your business? Is that an important way that you stay connected to the community?
It is. It's how we let people know about when these adoption events are happening. So we post things on our Facebook page. That's probably the biggest social media we use. But we also pay attention to the reviews people are giving us on Yelp and Google, wanting to know what people are saying and if there's ways we can improve. We've been getting really good feedback initially, and very happy with that.
So before we wrap, I want to ask you a question or two about expansion plans and what you see for the future, but I want to back up just a moment and ask, and it's really none of my business. I'm going to ask anyway because it's my show.
I guess you can do that.
Where'd you get the money for this thing? Did you borrow money? Did you save up money? Did you talk to Aunt Louise? I mean, because in a franchise, you got to write somebody a check, right?
Yeah, I did it a combination. So part of it is through an SBA loan.
Okay.
And the rest of it came from my personal savings. There's a company that does a program where you can actually use your rollover IRA funds, whether it's from former 401ks. Mm-hmm. And so you can create the company, and the shares are held in a retirement plan. So it shields your growth in the business happens tax deferred.
Well, that's kind of a cool thing.
It is cool
thing. This is your new 401k.
This is your new.
Exactly. Absolutely. Exactly. I'm betting on investing in myself. I shouldn't say betting, but the stock market feels like it sometimes. So I'm investing in myself instead of mutual funds or other company stock.
So that's the foundation for the next question. You're going to open more stores?
I sure hope so.
Yeah. Within this franchise system, or now you got the kind of the feel for it and you might do a couple of Jiffy Lubes?
Probably within the Pet Supplies Plus family.
All right. Yeah, you're learning the business, but so that is the plan then.
That is the plan. And part of the reason why I'm but being both the owner and the store managers, I want to really make sure I understand the business fully.
There you go.
But I have a most amazing assistant store manager, and she's already in on the plan that she'll become the store manager of this store when I go to start up the next store. So the plan's in place. Now it's just executing.
Well, what an exciting time for you. I think everybody in the studio is excited for you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. Let's get coordinates. Where are you located? Best way to reach out and getting connected in the social media platforms and all that stuff. So let's lay that on them.
Okay. The store's located at 3240 South Cobb Drive in Smyrna. That's at the intersection of South Cobb and Concord next to the Kroger. The store phone number is 770-431-0029. You can like us on Facebook and also follow us on our webpage, vetsuppliesplus.com/Myrna.
All right. Well, that's a wrap. Thank you all. Gentlemen from Riot, what a fantastic segment. Very informative. And I think we have to stop by Pet Supplies Plus.
I think we know where to go. Stuff.
Absolutely. All right. We'll see you next time on High Velocity Radio.